don't love, if you don't transform that mind, when that love is trying to come up, when the Holy Spirit is trying to bring it out, you're going to block it. You're going to say, no, I'm doing it my way. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm not going, and who wants your mind? You don't even want it.
Amen.
But you want that transformed mind so you can want your mind. Praise God.
Amen.
So let's put on love.
Amen.
We got to shed abroad in our hearts. And what's shed abroad in your heart and what you put on, when that meets together, it's a love explosion. Yeah. God bless you. Love y'all. Okay, Apostle. See, they was trying to get me in trouble, Apostle, to go over in time. But I'm getting smart now. I know I'm going to go every Sunday.
This is like putting a grill, letting us smell it, and giving us bite, and
slamming it shut. Yeah, make your home.
But you're coming back next Sunday, and we'll open it. The same place.
God is good. If I could lose everything I ever learned from the Lord and keep one thing, it would be what he taught me about love. That the love of God is how every victory I ever had, the love of God helped me do it. The everybody that did me wrong and it was a challenge, I had that determined love of God, and I saw what to do. And, you know, every time Henry Groove almost get killed, every time somebody pull a knife to his throat when he's out prayer walking, and they try to put fear on him, they say, "Preacher, I'll cut your throat." He'll say, "I'm already dead." and they don't know what to do with
it. He say,
"I'm what?" and they can't get him on fear. Then the fear that they tried to put on him gets on them. I've seen that. The Lord put work. In a challenge, the Lord will put words in your heart to say. And when you say it, it works. He'll give you the insight.
Yes.
Revelation comes with the love of God and any obedience. I'm gonna tell you though, if you're gonna follow God, take it out of neutral. Put it in drive.
Take it out of neutral and put it in drive. All right, brother.
Because
I like it.
I never learned it much from the Lord until I said, "I'm going to do this," or "I'm going to learn this," or "I'm going to master this." When I became determined like that, and I would say it. In the days when Charles Capps was teaching, when I was first learning about confessions, most people would use the confession to get stuff that they want. But I wanted to grow. And I wanted my life to be a certain. I wanted to be like Christ. Everything that hindered me, I would make confessions to grow. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added."
Right.
And I got a few material things that way, but most of it was on thirsting. If I was going to stand before God's people, I wanted to represent Christ properly. And I didn't. I knew I couldn't do it by myself. And I wanted to be effective, and I couldn't be effective by myself. And he would give me a message, and I would be determined to preach that message. I wouldn't let anything stop me from giving that word. And every time I did that, I learned something.
All right.
The process of life would happen. In the communion class, we saw how when people push others to the side, the rich would dominate. You know, they would get their food first and their drink first, and the peasants they would push aside. And the peasants were used to being pushed aside, and they expected to be pushed aside. And it was in their vision, and they thought God was that way. And the rich people thought they were doing good.
That's how they saw God, through the rich people that was pushing them to the side. Okay.
In their mind, in their mentality, their culture, this was how you do it, and this is how God is. Because this is how the king is, this is how the priest is, and the backslidden.
So you're saying they wasn't a good example.
No.
They wasn't. So we as saints, we must be good example, because that's what the world sees.
Yeah.
Us.
And we learn it when just like Mary said, when we make the love of God our own. See, the word of God, If somebody preaches, you may say, well, that's a good idea. I like that. But when you say, I'm going to do this, you bring it in. You grab a hold of it. Uh-huh. You receive it in you. The faith that you operate in is the word of God that you did receive already. That's the faith. That's the level of faith that you operate in. And the more you love, the more you'll measure that faith you already have. The more you love and operate in the faith you already have, you're going to grow. And the things that's not, that you thought were, sometimes there are things that's not of God. People receive it as of God, and they don't challenge it. I said earlier how there were some pastors, I don't like to judge people because I can't judge. I don't know how to judge a person's intent. But anytime you're in fear and you act on it, Satan's attached to what you're doing. I know that. A man can't live. Anytime you have fear, mm-hmm. that fear attaches Satan to that part of your life when you act or speak on that fear. An example, in business, I would put pressure on myself to make a certain amount of money, and I would work till I made it. And I wouldn't rest. I wasn't taking care of my body. And I wasn't enjoying the rest of God. And sometimes I would push myself too far, and I'd get burnt out. And I didn't know it. I didn't know it was fear or worry, but it was. And I had to make the adjustments here. And I said, and I was reminded of another situation, how I overcame because the Lord said, "Don't fear falling." And when He said that, I knew everything else made sense, and I was free. The same thing with finances. I had to stop seeing my life in a limitation, and I had to get. When I got rid of the fear, I became unlimited, so to speak, and I can take off and enjoy it.
Robert Henderson's got a great teaching on what you're talking about right there, because he was limited in stuff in his finances and everything, and he kept seeing people's dreams where they wanted to expand the
yeah.
gospel,
mm-hmm.
expand the kingdom of God,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted to be a part of their finances.
Yeah.
He started relaxing in the goodness of God.
Yeah.
He didn't have to worry about asking God for this amount or to pay this bill or nothing. He started relaxing in the goodness of
yeah.
God. And allowing him, and now he ain't got a cap.
Yeah.
He's absolutely just done real, dude. What he's doing is just unreal.
It
no
works.
Cap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm dealing with that same thing, you know, after retirement, and the income is like 25% of what it was before. But he started just talking to me, and he just say over and over again, "I'll take care of you."
He got this.
I know. And then now, I'm living the same on 25%. I'm going, what was all the money going? So, I'm just saying that I'm going through that same thing mm-hmm. now where he's just continually saying,
See,
stop
when you're looking at him,
that's what he said.
Lord, I want to tell you something. The Lord's got something awesome for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you are in you.
It is true.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just listening to him where in the quiet of night, he says, "I'll take care of you."
Uh-huh.
It's like, "I'm a husband. I'll take care of you. Just chill."
Yeah.
I like that.
Chill out, girl.
Chill.
Uh-huh.
Chill.
Did you have your hand
up? Yeah.
Yeah. I was afraid to tithe before because I knew I wouldn't have enough money to invest in it. And then I decided, no, it's wrong because God says to bring him the first 10%. So after my mama passed, I got some amount of insurance, and I decided from then on I was going to be obedient
mm-hmm.
and tithe the 10% off of mm-hmm. my inheritance and everything that I got from my job,
uh-huh.
but I was going to tithe the 10% off the gross on my job and not the net, because why should the government get more money than God?
Amen.
Yeah.
So he should come before that.
Uh-huh.
And so I did that faithfully. I set it aside and kept it completely separate and
yeah.
asked Jesus to bless there is.
Yeah.
And anyway, I was talking to Deborah about, she was actually, trying to help me. I was going to apply for Hardin State, Alabama, because I've gotten two mortgage payments behind on my mom's mortgage, and I got laid off from my job. I had to apply for unemployment, but I'm still asking, Jesus, please, take care of me, provide for me. I hadn't missed a single meal. My utilities are on and everything, and I just got this letter, and it was in my house the whole time, but I'm so slow to open up my bills. And I've been worrying and praying and taking communion, and I got a letter that says, "Dear customer, this letter will serve as an acknowledgement that your loan has been paid in full." My mama had mortgage insurance, and everybody told me this was the kind that doesn't pay at all.
I told you.
And it paid off the mortgage, and she left me in her will as I get the house and everything, all the contents. And I've been worrying and just asking Jesus, be my husband, Jesus. My legs are just weak. I'm glad I sat down when I did, because I got up early this morning and was opening and these bills, and I found this, and this is dated, actually this is dated one day after where they told me I owed $2,217.66.
Wow, that's awesome.
Immediately, or they were going to take my house.
I think,
Now I'm just so thankful. I just praise Jesus, because I was wanting to be a foster mom, and I got extra room, and I had already bought the baby furniture and furniture and faith, and everybody all around me, all my family, everybody saying, "No, you can't do it. You can't do it." But it's in my heart.
Yeah, do it.
And
you'll be successful at it too, because that's what God's got you called for. You got unlimited resources to do it.
When you look to Him,
you're
strengthened in every way. Looking to Jesus, it takes all the pressure off your life.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to say, when in the earlier class, the communion class, I talked about how some pastors would push away those younger ministers that were anointed and they were doing good. I don't know why. I can't judge why they did it, but I know that they would do that. And I kept seeing this at different churches. And I remember Elder Lewis didn't do that. Elder May didn't do that. And my father didn't act like that. They would encourage people to be all they could be. Well, when you're looking at something and there's fear, they may have feared that, well, these guys may take the church, or they may go forward and then backslide, or they may preach better than me and get all their I don't know why they did what they did, but they did it. They didn't. You have to encourage people to walk in the love of God. They're not going to want to sin.
Amen.
Be all that you can be. Let the miracles happen, and that will help anchor your life.
Amen.
And when people when you're anointed and you're going forward, they expected, they were inspired by these pastors, same pastors that pushed them away.
Right.
And then they got pushed away. Now they're hurt. And now and some of them backslid. Some of them started a ministry too early without the training.
Foundation.
It's a hindrance in the body of Christ. But when you follow Him, the love of God will keep you full of the revelation.
Amen.
And everything you need, and He will take care. He got this. He got you.
Joshua.
The love of God will rise up. The revelation will come. You don't have to live without it.
Well, let's not forget too. She's talking about tithing.
Yeah.
It's a worship, and it's a show of love.
Right. It is.
Love goes up, it comes back down.
Yeah, we love
God
back.
You don't just tithe and everything because you take it up. or told to, you tithe because you believe that Jesus came down to earth, died on the cross, and was raised and sits at the right hand of the Father, where you sit with him. That's why you tithe.
But if you're doing it out of fear, there's no...
Everything you do,
it's awesome.
Do it out of faith and love.
In love.
Yeah, in fact, Paul said...
I went ahead and I didn't have much, but I had gave $12 just an offering because I just wanted to out of love and respect and honor. And boy, he honored me because I got a full time job paying $12 an hour with benefits, taking care of children at a daycare at church in Alabaster.
I thank God for it.
Yeah, you got me. I know she's a nurse.
I'm a nurse, but my heart is for children.
Yeah.
And I like to tell them about Jesus. I would work in a school system and tell them about Jesus. But I knew if I get caught, I'd be kicked out.
Well, see, I know, we out of time.
But before we stop, I want to tell y'all about a new addition coming to the Breakfast Club.
Great.
It's called, it's going to be a book club. We're going to give you a book to read. You can take the whole month to read it, and at the end of the month, we'll come together. It's going to be once, we'll come together, we'll discuss.
The book.
We'll discuss the book. We'll get different insight from everybody that read it. And our first book, I think it's going to be The Final Lap. How many have that book? Y'all should already have that book.
Mm-hmm.
You got it. How many have read that book?
I did. I read it twice, I think.
Okay.
The Final Lap?
Yeah, by Lil' Jim.
Lil' Jim.
No, I haven't read it.
Oh, okay.
That's a good one.
Well, next week I'll probably have some with me, so y'all come ready to purchase some books. That's going to be our book for the month of July. And at the end of July, we'll come together and we'll discuss that book.
Yeah.
Okay, God bless you.
Lord, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for every word that was spoken today by the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us your wisdom and insight. Help us to go forward doing all that's in your heart. And Lord, I pray that you'll use these recordings to bless your people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
I'm gonna have to